Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vinson, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you are about to hear is true.
Take me across the water, 'cause I need some place to hide. I done the ranch of Dota, and I sure did hurt his pride.
Oh, how I've longed to hear those words from somebody else.
Good to be back in the saddle. I'm very happy to be back in this. It's like a cross between a chair and a stool, like a tool or a stair.
I think they have stairs. Tool. Go with tool.
Stair is already a word. Tool sounds like right. Something you'd hack up out of your lungs if you have a cold. So we'll just go with stool chair. Stool.
Or it's like, anyway. Like patchouli, you know.
Patchouli. let's start with this. A lot has happened in the last couple weeks since we've last recorded.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's happened, even though when he shared it with us, he asked us not to, you know, he said it's not public and he's not going to make a big Facebook deal out of it. And then he proceeded to make a big Facebook deal out of it. MP Cavalier and Tolan have announced that the Do It Indie Radio Hour is now on permanent hiatus.
Hiatus? I barely knew us.
I'm glad you did that. Hiator. So the show that I participated in, turns out, was their penultimate show.
Mm-hmm.
Because the very next show was their last show.
Yeah.
And on a serious note, I'm really, really glad that I got on their show finally. Hello?
Hold on. That's my mom. Hang on. You may fire when ready.
So the Do It Indie Radio Hour has decided to hang up their podcasting shoes, take down their podcasting shingle, and turn what they do into a non-existent entity. In other words, they're calling it quits.
Yeah.
So you know what that means.
That means we half of our material for the next 6 months is irrelevant.
Well, it means a couple of things.
Oh, okay.
One. This, my friend, is episode 130 of the Don't Panic Radio Show.
Mm-hmm.
The Do It Indie Radio Hour just completed episode 159. So what this means is, in 29 short weeks, we will overtake them in number of episodes because they've stopped. We're the turtle and they're the hare in the race. And you know, everybody knows in that story, the hare stops to get a mani-pedi or something halfway through the race. And the turtle is lopping along going,
hello, hare.
What are you doing?
Hey, I'm going to win this race, but I don't have to work very hard because I'm MP Cavalier. Everybody knows me, and I'm fast, and I play bass and wear a funny hat.
Well, MP, I wish you the best of luck, but I have a race to run. Loop-de-doop-de-doop.
I think I'm combining the turtle with the vulture.
Yes, because I noticed your arms were flapping. I'm like,
what was the vulture looking for? He was trying to catch a rabbit or something.
I'm going to catch me a rat.
Yeah, they always seem to want to catch Bugs Bunny, yeah.
Don't you want to be a peacock, man?
Well, I have not given it much thought.
I still say that every once in a while.
I do too. It's to the point where my wife says it. She'll go, but she can't do voices, so she'll just go, well, I have not given it much thought. I'm like, I want to be a peacock, man.
Well, I have not given it much thought.
I've actually looked for that on YouTube because I want to put it on the show so people can understand what the hell we're talking about.
Well, now here's your chance. all right, so we're going to catch up with them. That's one thing.
Yeah.
The other thing is now people have the opportunity to binge listen to Do It Indie Radio Hour because all the episodes are available. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is go to doitindieradiohour.com,
mm-hmm.
and there's a link there to all the previous episodes. And so what we can do is we can pretend that they're still on the air and just like each week go, hey, did you catch this week's Do It Indie Radio Hour? And it could be like episode 14, right? And you're like, oh yeah, Tolan sounded so young tonight, didn't he? Right? And we can just make fun of their early episodes.
That's just merciless.
Just a thought.
Just a thought.
I noticed MP Cavalier made the decision for the best of reasons, which is mm-hmm. to, that's what all executives say when they get fired, right? They always say, I wanted to spend more time with my family, right? So that's...
Nobody really wants to spend time with their family.
Right. I mean, if I wanted to spend time with my family, I would have... There's a good joke in there. I just don't know what it is. The point being, I think that he is a modest man,
mm-hmm.
but that's, I just violated every rule of improv. you don't do what he's able to do if you don't have confidence. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And it's a rare bird that can have that kind of confidence and be that modest at the same time.
Yeah.
Nobody that knows him would ever say he's cocky or self-important or selfish or anything but generous, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, you cannot 159 times on a two-hour show, that's the one thing we'll have trouble with, is we might be able to do as many episodes, but they will add up to half as much time, even if we catch up to them. So that could be a problem.
That's true.
Don't tell them I said that.
I'll cut it out.
You can't do that. You cannot do that and promote a music scene like he has been promoting it for 3 odd years. 3 is odd. Mm-hmm. It's kind of redundant.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you cannot promote a music scene like that. You can't talk for... I know. Me, I'm a good example. You cannot talk for hours on where a few dozen people might be listening without having some level of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to be able to come across as modest when we all know he's a cocky bastard, that's art. That's an art form right there.
Yes, it is.
So that is the Don't Panic tribute to the Do It Indie Radio Hour show. So falls a worthy foe. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. In the competition between the DPRS and the DIRH,
yeah,
the only thing worse than a victory like this would be a defeat like this. Many more of these kinds of victories, and we shall not have an army to fight with.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Well, they'll be missed. Okay, so the next thing, speaking of binging,
yeah.
There was apparently a show, the entire first season of which I failed to even notice existed.
This is going to be good.
The second season is apparently coming up. I don't know if they're starting to shoot the second season or if it's going to air soon. It's on BBC America. And they're recommending that people binge watch season 1. It's called, you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
You know, I saw like blurbs of that showing up on social media, and I honestly thought it was like some kind of joke that there was that thing even existed. I had no idea up until recently that it exists.
Elijah Wood apparently plays Dirk Gently.
Yep.
Frodo in a Douglas Adams. I mean, you take, if you took my two favorite books from my formative years, my two favorite book series, and the authors of those, you would have Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy with three first initials, J.R.R. Tolkien, in the Fellowship of the Ring series, right?
Right.
Who knew that the same guy would star in screen adaptations of those books? Who knew it? Who could have predicted?
It's true. It's fun when stuff like that happens, though.
The only thing that would have been better is if Frodo had played Marvin the Paranoid Androids, because I see them as similar characters.
Yeah.
They're both a little bit forlorn. Both of them are somewhat immortal.
A little bit forlorn. That's exactly how I would describe Marvin.
He's like, the first million years weren't too bad. And then the worst was the second 2 million years.
Right. Well, I recently introduced my daughter Arlo to the movie from a couple years ago.
The
Hitchhiker's Guide.
Hitchhiker's Guide movie? Which incarnation?
I don't know. It was, how many of them have there been? This one, I think it was 08 or something like that.
Okay, so the most recent.
Yeah, the most recent.
There was another one before that.
Well, I know there was a show. I just didn't know there was another movie.
No, the movie, I think there was another movie. I think. Well, oh, man. Gonna have to research that.
Well,
the most recent,
yeah,
08 version. Yes.
The reason why I pointed it out to her is she likes that show, Sherlock, with Benedict Cumberbund, and his sidekick on that show. She likes the actor that plays the sidekick. For the life of me, can't remember the guy's name. But I was like, oh wait a minute, she likes him. So I showed her. And we got about halfway through it, and she had to go off and do stuff at her mom's house. But she fully plans on getting back to it. So now she's asking me questions like, so this is based on a book? I'm like, yeah. She's like, is it funny? I'm like, you've met your dad, right? I mean, that's where I get half my material from. So she says, and how many are there? And then, of course, you have to explain the whole, you know, five-book trilogy thing. So I'm kind of excited that I'm pretty sure in very short order she'll be reading the books too. So
nice.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. I remember very little from Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency,
as the same thing here. I wasn't as into it as I was the other ones.
Yeah, I think I read it because I was missing, like, it's one. There are very few books like this, or very few series that I get done and I actually miss the characters, I miss the author, I miss his voice, I miss...
I miss your scent.
I just miss it, right?
Yeah.
And I want some new material.
Like The Zone, for instance. You know, when the Berlin Wall came down and the Cold War was over and the Zone got canceled. What?
Yeah. Yeah, why didn't they do what James... I mean, the James Bond franchise moved on to Arabs. Why didn't the...
I'm not sure. I think he was... I know James Roach has gone on to write other stuff, and then he also... Now, he's done at least one e-book that I'm aware of based on... It's like, even though it's book 10, what he did was he turned it into one of these alternate history-type sci-fi stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he learned his lesson, because what threw me off with it, though, was a lot of the characters that had died were in this book. So I don't know whether he was relaunching the series or what, but I couldn't get into it because, you know, I'm reading these, but he died in book three, and he died in book nine, and so it was a little bit hard to read. It was written well, but it was hard to get into.
Wait, he died of explosive diarrhea while having sex with a hooker.
Yeah, wasn't there the one guy in the big fat guy that was in like the hotel? Remember that? Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this actually happened in a book. he was getting it on with a hooker and had violent, fatal diarrhea.
That's right.
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
My comment about Arabs reminds me of an interaction I had in a convenience store the other day. I stopped off to get a little refreshment. Wet my taste buds a little bit, wet my whistle. And I got probably a Slim Jim and a Coke Zero. You know, I like Slim Jims. I like Coke Zeros. And you know how Coke has been putting the...
You gotta defend names. What you eat, man.
I know, right? Coke has been putting people's names on their bottles, right? And this one, I'm not sure what the origin of this name is, but it's spelled R-I-H-A-B. How would you pronounce that? R-I-H-A-B.
Rehab?
You have something in common with the African-American clerk who checked me out.
Like checked you out, or?
No. Who's checking me out, as in ringing me up.
Oh, okay.
Which is... code for taking my money whilst I take the merchandise.
Oh, you said bringing me up. I thought you meant like getting your digits, you know.
Nothing with my digits. I would pronounce it rehab or rehab or something like that. Sounds vaguely Middle Eastern, maybe Indian. I don't know. Or maybe I'm the racist. I have no idea. All I know is my African-American cashier turned to his African-American cashier co-worker, and he goes, what does this say right here? What does this say to you? What does this say? And she goes, that looks like an Arab name. And he goes, no, that ain't no Arab name. That says rehab. She's like, rehab? That don't say rehab. That's an Arab name. It's like an Arab. Rehab. So I said rehab. Like, nah, that's an Arab name. What do you think? And they looked at me, and I was like, man, I ain't even got an opinion.
I'm gonna resist every urge to play Ray Stevens as Ahab the Arab for the commercial break.
So, and then she starts going, oh, rehab, you mean like 12-step or 9-step or however many steps there is. I'm just cracking up because I'm like, this is a fantastic conversation. This is an amazing conversation. I wish I was recording it. My African-American brother and sister discussing the name Rehab or whatever it is. And it was a beautiful thing. 12 steps or 9 or however many steps they is.
However many steps.
Anyway, that having been said, I don't remember the crux of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. Is it just like he has a detective agency and a bunch of crazy shit happens?
Yeah, essentially wackiness ensues, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if it's worth checking out. Probably worth watching a couple of episodes.
Well, I'll undoubtedly end up watching it, you know, because... it's there, but yeah, I have no idea. Plus, with the TV series, I mean, chances are they'll take it like, you know, 10 or 12 or 9 steps, you know, off in a different direction.
How many steps they is? One show I totally recommend is Last Man on Earth. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. I've watched a handful of episodes. My daughter loves it. I've watched it with her a couple times, yeah.
Oh, I'm still reading text from my daughter. She's going through typical daughter things.
There's no such thing.
What should I tell her she should do? Just chill. She's trying to FaceTime me now. This happened on when I was on the Do It Indie Radio Hour too.
Right, right. Right.
All right. We talked to her. We're going to work out child problems. I'll stop looking at that.
Dude, it never gets any better.
Oh, I know. It's just, it all starts from an early age, doesn't it? We all walk around pretending something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And none of us ever really share. That was a perfect example right there. The reason we don't share things with other people is we have this fear of how they're going to react.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
right.
You know, a lot of people who really only know the cliches that they've seen on TV would like to go, oh, just tell her how you feel. She's not going to, you speak from your heart and she'll just see that you're being authentic and honest and you'll hug and love each other and it'll be just, you'll see, she's not going to be mean. And that is a fucking lie because in all likelihood, she will be mean. She will make fun of you.
Yep.
Like a lot of our greatest fears, it's like stereotypes. They're stereotypes for a reason. It's because 78% mm-hmm. of the time it's true. And so the things we fear, I mean, we didn't develop these fears out of the blue, like just some totally like,
right.
Oh, I'm afraid the moon's going to fall and hit the earth. Like, no, that never happens.
Yeah.
The things we're afraid of, like, well, they'll judge me. You not damn right they will. The reason the fear was developed out of people being judged. And the negative consequences that come from that.
Self-preservation from negative consequences.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're dealing with a kid, like when they were little, right? It was easy to be like, you know, there are no ghosts. There are no monsters in your room.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask a grown-up for something, they're not going to, you know, jump down your throat. You know, a lot of the fears that kids between the ages of 3 and 7 have are, you know, they are unfounded. And that shit ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So as a parent, it's easy. You just go, oh, here, I'll show you that second. Here, we'll open your closet door and there are no monsters there. Just think of a world.
Yeah.
Like, so then between the ages of 8 and 18 and probably beyond, like their fears are real. Think about your kid going, there's a monster in my closet. And you go, well, let's open up and find out. And then realizing there's a 75% chance that there actually is a monster in the closet.
Yes. Yes.
Now what do you do? Right? You don't go, but you know, statistically speaking, you're probably right. But you should go to sleep anyway.
Yeah. Just don't open that door. As I've told my oldest, I'm like, you know, with the kids, I've enjoyed every stage of their lives thus far. And I'm looking forward to the ones that are following. Mm-hmm. But there are times when I would trade the problem they're having now with changing a poopy diaper. Sometimes I would gladly go back to changing that poopy diaper than have to deal with this problem. Because as a parent, then we have, back then it was easy. You fix it. Like you said, You open the closet door. You change the poopy diaper. But then, as a parent, when they're older, you have to have that same, look, we'll just open the closet. But you know damn well that, you know, it's not going to be, like you said, there's a good chance there is a monster on the other side. But yet, you also can't let them know that you're not sure if there's a monster in that closet or not. Because, you know, you have to keep that facade of, you know, being the parent and knowing everything and being that safe person for them who has all the answers.
The question is, it's a balance, okay? It's like this delicate dance we do. Because I do want to come across as I'm always going to be here when you are out in the world and shit goes down. I'm always here.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, I'm here. And I'm a safe haven, you know, when the shit hits the fan, I'm the, you know, shit shield. Right? The shit may still be hitting the fan, but I will temporarily shield you from getting shit in your eye. So I can't honestly say I have the answers. And I can't honestly say when I open that door, there won't be a monster. What I can say is I know how you can protect yourself from that monster 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And it is never go near that closet.
Yes.
Never open the door. Never take that risk. Just always assume there's a monster behind the door and never go there. And you will never, ever be impacted by that monster.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You will also have a shitty life because you will avoid doing and you'll avoid deep relationships. You'll avoid adventures. You'll avoid taking risks and getting the rewards that come along with that. And those are the things that make life, especially the deep relationships. Those are the things that make life great, not avoiding monsters. Avoiding monsters is like, that's baseline. Mm-hmm. Like if you can make it to old age without getting attacked by a monster and killed, that's baseline. That's like, oh, I had a great life. Well, you know, you avoided getting killed by a monster.
Yeah.
Okay. All of that's kind of like doom and gloom. Like the, well, I wish I could tell my kid that she won't be mean to you.
Yeah.
Your authenticity will change her and,
yeah,
she'll see it for what it is. Or as you heard me, like my reaction would be, I'll just ride out the next 2 days, get back home, and you know, everything will go. That's my mom's approach, right? Mom, mama, if you're listening, God love you. God bless you. Stay out of that ocean. Don't get ate up by no sharks.
That's sound advice right there.
Sound advice. So my mom's thing, and that was my mom talking.
Yeah.
The, hey, you got 2 more days. Just let it ride. Don't make any waves. It'll all settle down. Enjoy the next 2 days. Get back home. Everything will be great.
Mm-hmm.
That's my mom's approach to life.
Yeah.
And so that's me. That's like almost hardwired
in me.
But one of the reasons when we did the Wonder Woman episode, I said one of the most influential women in my life is my daughter, is because she knows bullshit when she sees it.
Yeah.
And her version of all bullshit is, yeah, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that too. See, her yeah, but is my oldest not responding. Like if I give her like BS advice and she knows it's BS, she won't respond to it. And then a little while later, she'll come at me again and we'll talk, because she knows I'm, you know, like you said, you know, I'm saying the standard answer that actually is complete BS. And that's the thing too, when you raise smart kids, it's great because they're smart. Sometimes it's like they're too smart. It's like, you know, She didn't fall for that one, so now I gotta really, I have to really parent this thing out here. So.
Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna have to parent this thing out. I like that. I'm gonna have to knuckle down and parent this thing out. It's a lovely world. And for our younger listeners,
shame on you, first of all.
Yeah, shame on you for listening. And this is parental advice for you. Your parents, spoiler alert, don't have all the answers, but they have probably been through every single thing you're going through. And the advice they're giving you and the guidance they're giving you is what they wish they had gotten when they were your age.
Yeah,
it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it great advice, but it is what they wish they had heard at that age. Because thing is, I can't tell my daughter, she's 12. I can't tell her what to do. I have no idea what she should do. All I can do is give her some wisdom that I wish I'd had when I was her age and send her off to do whatever she's going to do. And it's either going to work or it ain't going to work, or I don't even know what work means. It's just going to, something's going to happen. She'll like it. She won't like it. She'll learn something maybe, or she won't. She'll become closer with her friend or farther apart. I have no idea. But the point is, I've imparted some wisdom that I wish had been imparted on me. Doesn't make it right. And I call that a parenting win.
Sometimes that advice is the equivalent of sorry for your loss. It's like you don't know what to say. You want to say something, but you say the total bullshit line, hoping they'll swallow it, and they won't, because you get the yeah but, and I get the silent treatment. And it's just how it is.
Probably the best, if you sometimes people will post things like videos or whatever that are intended to be, here's what this person would say if they were being 100% honest. Mm-hmm. That particular phone call just now that you listened into,
mm-hmm.
if I were being 100% honest, it would have been, ooh, I feel bad for you. But, I'm in the middle of the show, and I'm just trying to think of something I could say that gets me out of this conversation and back to the show. If I were my dad, I'd be like, don't bother me. I'm recording a show.
Yeah, here's your mom.
Here's your mom. Only he would say, I'm welding together air and water.
Yeah, that's right. Valley girl, she's a valley girl. Valley girl, she's a valley girl. Okay, fine, for sure, she's a valley girl in a clothing store. Okay, fine, for sure, she's a oh my god! Valley girl, totally. Valley girl, Encino's so bitchin'. Valley girl, there's the Galleria. Shoe stores. I love going to clothing stores and stuff. I buy the neatest mini skirts and stuff. It's so bitchin' because everybody's super, super nice. It's so bitchin'. Are you into S&M? I go, oh, right. Could you, just picture me in a leather teddy? Yeah, right. Hurt me. I'm sure, no way. He was, freaking me out. He called me a beastie. That's just, he's totally blissed. He goes, bag your face, I'm sure. Sure, barf me out. Gag me with a spoon. Best idea to cross her mind. Had something to do with where to find. A pair of jeans to fit.
and I wanted like to get my toenails done, and the lady like is, oh my god, your toenails are like so grody. It was like really embarrassing. She's like, oh my god, like bag those toenails. I'm like, sure. She goes, I don't know if I can handle this, you know. I was like really embarrassed. That's gonna be really like a total bummer. I'm freaking out, I'm sure. Like, those things that like stick in your mouth are so gross. You gotta get saliva all over them. But, like, I don't know, it's gonna be cool, you know. I'll buy some, like, see my smile. It'll be like really cool. Except my like teeth are like too small. But no biggie. So awesome. It's like tubular, you know. Well, I'm not like really ugly or anything. It's just like, I don't know. You know me, I'm like into the like the clean stuff, like Pac-Man, and like, I don't know, like my mother like makes me do the dishes. It's like so gross, like all the stuff like sticks to the plate, and it's like somebody else's food, you know. It's like grody to the max, I'm sure. It's like really nauseating, like bark out, gag me with the spoon, gross, I am sure. Totally.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. Before we move any further, big, huge, giant shout out to Superfan James, who has always been our number one supporter. Shares the show all the time, calls in, fills in, laughs.
Quick with the fact checking.
Makes us feel better than we actually are. And all the while cutting up some delicious meat in various ways that we have no idea how to do.
Did he send you the picture? he sent me a picture yesterday of a bunch of steaks he'd cut up. It was like just a glimpse of my life. I mean, I'm like, why would you show me this? And
yeah, I have not. He did not send me.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, though, I have not had a chance to listen to last week's show. By the time this one airs, I probably will have. so I can go back in time and give my reaction. But, well, it's only been a day since it came out. So
yeah,
I haven't had a chance. So tell me, how was it? How was the experience?
It was a lot of fun. He's getting more at ease with being on the show, I think, because he was keeping up with me, if not passing me up a little bit here and there. And we talked a lot about movies on the last half of the show, and he was Johnny on the spot with the Rotten Tomatoes, and we had a pretty good debate about The Arrival. So it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting segment, like to have once a month or something as a movie segment, where Superfan James, you know, his responsibility is to be ready with the Rotten Tomatoes. they do this thing on the Adam Carolla show where they try to guess what the Rotten Tomatoes percent is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like a little game. They'll do like five movies and like whoever gets the closest wins or whatever. But we can't do that, obviously, because
yeah,
it's already been done. Not only has it already been done, but they do it with Matt Achety, who is the founder of Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So I doubt we could get Matt Achety. But you know what we have that they don't have?
What's that?
Superfan James.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you, Superfan. We love you. We will always love you.
Like a lover.
I don't mean like a friend. I mean like a lover. All right. And Mrs. Superfan James, we love you too.
She
like
was
a friend.
She was a trooper. Just wait till you hear the episode.
Oh, I can't wait. Mrs. Superfan. Superfan. I'm wearing negligee and fuzzy slippers just for you, Superfan.
Yeah.
And with that, shall we do some headlines?
Let's do some headlines.
All three of our headlines, surprisingly, come from Gaugib, the BBC.com news website. This first one I picked simply because it puzzled me. I can't wrap my head around it. It is, dead Indian guru will remain meditating in a freezer.
Are you sure you're not like dropping Beck lyrics?
Yeah. Getting funky with the cheese whiz. I just feel that, okay, a couple of things on this one. Are Indians known for meditating?
Well, I would assume.
Is that something?
Like, not Native Americans, but the other Indians.
Oh. Boy, am I embarrassed. This is awkward.
As opposed to the other 139 episodes.
It is funny that people confuse that, because once the white man came, the Native American population, which prior to Amerigo Vespucci drawing a map depicting North America, mm-hmm. the Native Americans did not know themselves as Native Americans. They just called themselves Americans. I mean, everybody knows that.
That's right.
Or natives. I'm not sure which. Anyway, I don't know how many there were before the white man came. There are far fewer now. In fact, I would venture to guess the continent or the subcontinent of India has something like 800 million or a billion, something like half a billion people. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a billion. It was. Red Dawn reference. Boom.
Wolverines.
Wolverines. So they have way. There are way more Indians than there are Native American Indians. So right. Why is it we always confuse the two? I should assume when I see the word Indian that we're talking about Indians from India. Indian Indians.
Right.
India Indians. And should there be a better way to describe it? Why is it we haven't yet come up with a way? When we're talking about Indians from the country of India, why haven't we come up with a better way than, no, not Indians, India Indians.
Right, right.
That's a shitty way of...
I think it's because we're just like lazy and racist. We can't come up with a, you know, or we just like doing impressions of either Indian. I don't know. By now you would figure
totally racist. It's totally racist.
Well, it's been long enough. There should not be like a confusion.
I know it was like 1492. Columbus runs into a Caribbean island. See some people there and goes, well, I was looking for India, expecting to see some Indians. There's some people there. I'll look like an ass if they're not Indians. Therefore, they're Indians. And 1492.
Yeah.
It was when I graduated from college in 91. it was 499 years after that mistake had been made.
Yeah, it's one of those. Right? Yeah. I don't know how to still.
Ugh, I'm so embarrassed. Anyway.
Do you wonder if there are any Indians that like own casinos?
Like India Indians?
See what you just did there? Anyway, moving on.
Well, the other thing I thought about this headline, once I figured out that we were talking about India Indians, was I'm pretty sure they are all like Hindu, like a lot of Buddhists, a lot of Hindus, probably some Christians, mainly there's some Muslims, mainly Hindu. Hindus, as far as I know, are big on reincarnation, which means you die, and Buddhists are too. I mean, you die and your spirit, you know, returns in another form. And it's us Westerners who believe that. Well, right. Could be bovine in nature.
Yeah.
Or if you're an Indian, Tatanka. But my thought was, why would an Indian guru need to be frozen? That's something like Walt Disney does, because it's like, no, this is all we got. I want to come back. If I want to come back, you're going to have to freeze my body or my brain. And then when science catches up, you can bring me back to life. Why would an Indian guru need that?
Maybe he wants to meet himself.
Oh, I like that. He would be violating one of the...
he looks at himself and he's like, why didn't anyone tell me my butt was so big?
This next one comes also from Kat Cow Gibb. And it also explains an earlier reference. And I'll just tell you the headline. This is all right. I got. I got nothing more than this. Pandas. Very nice diplomats. So that's why I thought diplomatic panda may be calling you. I had no idea.
Oh, no.
Let me answer this. Hello. Hello. Yes. Hello. Yes. Who is this? Who is this? You're the one that called me. This is Diplomatic Panda. Oh, Diplomatic Panda. I thought you might be calling. I hear you're very nice. Well, I wouldn't say I'm very nice, but I have heard other people say that, and I would never say they're wrong, because I'd never say anybody else is wrong. Wow. You are nice. I am. I'm wondering, when my phone rang, it was...
Your phone rang?
Yes, my phone rang because you called me.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, moving on. Are you...
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm very sorry for everything North Korea is doing.
What is North Korea... Are you aware of anything North Korea is doing, Paul?
this is news to me.
They're shooting off missiles and shit.
Oh. Diplomatic Panda, watch your language. Jeez.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you had language rules on this show.
Well, we don't actually have any language rules. It's just I thought Diplomatic Panda, being as nice as you are, would not cuss.
Well, you know, I've been known to drop an F-bomb now and then. But only in company that I know doesn't mind a F-bomb here or there.
Do you have a cold, Diplomatic Panda?
Little bit, yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in. I you know what? Call in anytime. That's, you know, we love weird animal impressions on this show.
Clearly.
bye.
Okay, two things. One,
yes.
Diplomatic Panda sounds like a record label. And two, Diplomatic Panda sounds like, she sounds like a character from the Land of Maple Leaf from Mr. Rogers. Together they would do problem solving.
Well, boys and girls, I think it's time we take a trip to the Land of Make Believe, don't you? First, let's feed the fish. There you go. There you go. Yeah. Now let's get on the, what's the train called? There's a name for the trolley.
Yeah, some trolley. Trolley. Yeah.
Jolly just, trolley.
No, it was just trolley.
Trolley. Okay. We're going to get on the trolley and we're going to go to the Land of Make Believe.
Oh. This one's going to hurt.
Welcome to the Land of Make Believe, y'all. What? Wait. What? We thought we were going to see Diplomatic Panda. There ain't no Diplomatic Panda over here. I think she was here. And then she left.
Is this 130,000 year old Mastodon?
You damn right. It's 130,000 year old Mastodon. Diplomatic Panda is a bitch. Oh, come on. Come on, man. There's no call for that. Well, I'll tell you what. She sound all nice and shit. But she come over here to Land of Make Believe. And me and that owl, I forget that owl's name. Me and that owl, though, we thought we'd get with that, you know. Wait, well, hold on a second. You're from the pachyderm family. Pachyderm? What the hell is pachyderm?
I think pachyderm? I barely knew a derm.
I think that's like in the elephant family. I'm a 130,000-year-old mastodon. Elephants in the mastodon family. I ain't no elephant family. Well, whatever. What I'm saying is, you're in that group, has the long trunk and the big-ass penis, too, man. Okay, I'm sure your penis is large. That damn right it is. But, I mean, I'm trying to imagine pandas, I think, are in the bear family. Bear family. Bailey family. I barely knew her. All right. Well, look, we gave up rape talk a long time ago, and we will not entertain the idea of any kind of rape, including pachyderm versus whatever the scientific name for bears is. I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, I don't either, so I'm hanging up on you. Wow, this is turning into a real zoo.
He makes the show so much easier for me to edit.
Welcome to the morning zoo. I'm Chesterfield Station. I'm with Alistair Powers. And we've been talking to 130,000-year-old Mastodon, who claims to have had unconsensual sex with Diplomatic Panda. Alistair, what do you think of that?
I ain't even got an opinion.
This next headline comes also from BBC. This is a confusing one as well. Okay, here we go. The chameleon the size of an ant. Life is hazardous when you risk being run over by a millipede.
Once again.
First of all. What? Once again what?
Once again, Beck lyrics. We should just do that from now on. We should do headline or Beck lyric.
Oh yeah. It's a contest. Headline or Beck lyric.
Anyway, what was the headline? What was it?
It was dog food skulls with the beefcake pantyhose.
I'm going to go with headline. Oh, man.
Tell me, is Paul correct or not? That was a Beck lyric. here's another one. This is a column from the New York Times. And the name of the column is, "I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt." Subtitled, "Don't believe everything that you breathe." Beck lyric or headline?
We'll let the audience decide.
"Tonight the city is full of whores." "And all my something is overflowing. The shotgun mall's coming out of the walls."
Oh, come on. Yeah. "Come on, motherfucker. Get your clothes on."
All right. So there's a chameleon.
That was my life with my downstairs neighbors for years. But, oh, man.
The hillbillies.
Oh, God. Anyway, we should figure out a direction for this.
We should figure out an exit plan.
Yeah. We should always go into it with an exit strategy. So.
Oh, 130 shows in, and I think you just had the insight that we've needed this whole time.
Well, you know, I had what alcoholics referred to as a moment of clarity. An exit strategy. That's what's missing.
This has been quite the eulogy for our good friends over at Doing It in Radio Hour. You know, if you guys need anything, food, pillow to lay your head on, shoulder to cry on, we're here for you. I'm speaking mainly to MP Cavalier because Nick Tolan won't even listen to our show.
Well, he may have listened once. Because he took a picture of himself listening one time. And by the look on his face, I'm willing to bet he was listening. So.
Hey, I can take a picture of me graduating from Harvard. That don't mean I graduated from Harvard.
Harvard. Oh, Harvard.
This has been fun, boys and girls. Do not forget to go over to don'tpanicradioshow.com. Share, like, listen, repeat. In fact, we don't care if you listen. Just share.
Yeah,
tell
right?
Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your mom. Tell your dad. Tell your sister, brother. Tell your wives and girlfriends, but not at the same time.
But not at the same time.
For Paul Schultz, I've been Steve Vinson most of my life. Nothing you just heard. What's true?
Ah, bullshit.